Day 12, Water Lilies. Nelson, Diana, Mohan. Ella had another dream last night, she who never dreams. Why is there such a flurry? Because we are scribing this. Her only unanswered question in all of this is, on what level of consciousness are the people who are waking up and actively participating actually conscious that they are? Is it them at this level of awakeness? Or is it them slightly higher up? On a simple level, it doesn't matter. We each and every one of us are a shaft of sacred consciousness. I asked Ella to explain this to me, so I can better express it to you and me. It's like this. Our subconscious, that which we are attuned to on subliminal levels, yet are withholding from our own astute awakeness, call this our ego protecting us from what its senses might be overwhelming for us to know. This level of our own consciousness exists inside the physical us. Then outside of us, just beyond our physical selves, is a shaft of all that we are. This shaft, which is essentially our superconsciousness, is directly connected with the collective consciousness, that which Carl Jung was discovering and gradually yet swiftly disclosing, particularly shortly before he died. Ella is a toothpick in the cake test. She is fully conscious that it may be dangerous for us to state these names today or ever, and yet it is through the flushing out of potential weaponry and the alkalinizing of lead and steel, that we can stand tall as one sibling and see the light and not the fall. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychoanalyst who was a prodigy of Sigmund Freud until he left and launched into his own deep and revelatory explorations of how the human psyche works. Did you know that he, Carl Jung, knew everything he wrote in his book Synchronicity years before he published it, and yet he held it back? The story goes that he did so until near his death, out of fear that he might be outcast in his scientific community of peers if he spoke openly about it, simply because it shattered the box of limited thinking that was the reign at the time. The scientific community is unfortunately known for its restrictive domineering of what is real. Researchers who discover something new and worldview-shattering, rather than being welcomed and nurtured with rapt curiosity and openness, recognized as being among the new leaders of evolving thought, historically have instead been habitually outcast and riddled and sometimes even denounced. It has sadly too often been perceived as a threat to those in power, for worldviews, the ways we think of what is real, hold tremendous power, like God. And so to allow new ideas to crack open the shell and let new light in has been slow and rare. Such has been true with so many brilliantly innovative thinkers. Some of these continue to exist and thrive, as Carl Jung did, just outside the norm. And so he took the leap, Carl Jung did, and he published his essential findings just prior to his death. Wow. So I invite you to contemplate simply this. There is so much that we are all attuned to that we aren't conscious that we are conscious of quite yet. Ah, yes, Ella's recent dream. She placed a phone call, intending it to be just a thank you to his personal assistant, who is the one who miraculously answered her call. Astrid Halderson insisted, "Yes, I will get him," and she proceeded to move about in search of Dr. Hashimoto to call himself to the phone. You need to know this to fully comprehend the scope of this. He never, ever answers the public office telephone, nor does she. It is a flurry of busy bees who are all lovely, to whom one can eventually get through. This time, Mrs. Halderson, as she is publicly known, herself announced, and despite Ella's persistent protestations of not wanting to interrupt, Astrid determinedly went in search of the man. Dr. Jason Hashimoto, the Canadian scientist grandfather of this country, who has lent his life to the upliftment of humanity through his journalism, his research, his impeccable leadership, and beyond. He answered. He was on video camera. She was on phone. She reminded him of how they'd met some 20 years ago. He was actively listening, all the while stroking a small dog. After a few simple moments of rapt listening, as she did speak, he said, "If this vision has the capacity to lift humanity out of illusion and thus out of dualistic thinking and thus out of suffering, then how can I help?" This is when she woke up. This dream is prophetic in that months ago she was aware of him stepping in to play a key role. And when she reached out to him, she received his reply, signed in his own ink, that he is aware that we are now scribing this, yet he is too old to actively assist. The energy is stirring, Pinocchio's toys all awakening. And the first to reply are among those who do lead this amazing grace. For as any bird swims, or as a boat slips along amidst waters, it creates behind it a wake. And inside this wake, many others can easily swim in the calmness, the serenity of the still waters within. The eagles are gathering, yes, for it is time. The Gathering of the Eagles is a book that began circulating among people stirring awake in the know some 20-plus years ago. Written by Ray Hudson, it is the remarkable story of Menno Pals and his in-depth trust as he follows the visions and the voices as they reveal themselves to him. "It is time now." These are the words that Ella spoke telepathically to His Holiness the Dalai Lama as she became awake to the readiness and the import that he and she meet. It was while she was sitting in meditation yesterday morning that she was given this. She was sitting in semi-lotus position in direct alignment with the sun, eyes closed, her attention was swiftly swept up to focus as if a laser beam directly at her third eye. And as soon as this was established in her experience, she was gently yet swiftly drawn backwards up to where they sit. She was taken to where the beings sit who are overseeing all of this, so that she could feel and see from their vantage, and she could directly experience. She could know for herself where they do sit. It is very far out. "We will not abandon you," was their solid, clear assurance to her. And as soon as she heard this and she had acknowledged her receipt of it, they began to glide her back in, equally gently as she had been taken out, to her primary awareness again, a focusing in her third eye. For there are beings who are watching this for the sole purpose to ensure that if any energy anywhere in the cosmos or here in flesh is at all disturbed by any of this light news, they will be lovingly reassured that all is light and all is love, and the seam between is pure. And so yesterday morning, Ella met these far-out souls who are watching us and this and ensuring our safe passage, so this time the ending's different. It was while she was healing the fracture in her T5 that the visions and the voices began full force, like a dam that had been waiting a very long time for this. For she needed to be in stillness and in silence, this intelligence it to receive. She spent hours and hours alone, first in her bedroom, then at the gym. Her gym for her recovery was a local swimming pool. There she could swim laps and laps. The water would hold her up, and just like in her mother's womb, it helped to cheer her up. For this was the first time since she began to dance at age 6 that she was restricted. She could not dance, yet dance had become her identity. She knew herself through dance. And so as her spine began to loosen, for the fear sets in like a rocket the moment that trauma hits, she began to gently ask it, "Would you please let me dance?" And in the water, first the shallow end, she would swirl and she would spin, closing her eyes and evaporating. She would allow the water to birth her in, into an inner world that few humans ever meet, unless, of course, they are shamanic in the normal ways their culture is. It was like a dream world, yet she wasn't dreaming. She was lucidly awake, just rapturously giving in, my friends. She was dancing in this lake. She learned to trust the waters holding her. She learned to trust the hidden hand. She learned to trust in what we can't see. She learned to trust again. And as her spine, it was healing, this is when she began to see, for the visions showed her the dances. And this, it was her key. For she would return a few months later, not to the company stage. She would return a solo artist. She would be born again. And so as it was time to dance again, she sought Doran to lead her through. For she knew that she could trust him. She knew he could lead her through. For she was no longer in Nacho's company, and Gaetan, he was in love with a woman who disliked her, and so he could not her love. It was in Doran's studio in Manhattan that she first danced the solos through, six of them in succession, a mini-marathon this would prove. She learned to arc them like a rainbow to lead the audience up beyond a gentle yet persistent storm they would ride through. For she believed in making magic. She believed in touching souls. She believed in the pure heart's wonder, if only we can wake it up. She asked Doran for his input, and what he gave perfectly matched what her inner guidance had already spoken to her, that these solos, they would move souls. She chose to take them away from New York to a quieter place where she was less known, so that she could shelter them more keenly as they birthed. So she took them away to Europe. She premiered them in a German tour. They were ravishingly received. They were embraced with verve. These solos, they did move souls. Ella told me how utterly moving it was for her on opening night in Wuppertal. She had approached the impresario, the producer of the festival, while she was early on in her recovery. Solely based upon her background, who she had trained with, who had chosen her to create solos upon, who had hired her in their companies and the like, he had said yes. And so she was the sole, purely solo act to tour Germany in the Bierliche Internationale Porche Tanzfestival that year. Six cities she performed in, including Wuppertal, and quite innocently, while she was backstage following her performance to a sold-out crowd, they arrived. Dancers from Pina Bausch's Tanztheater. They came backstage to greet her and to say, thanks. This was the crowning jewel for her, to be appreciated by their likes. For Pina's company was the rising star then, hers was where dance was at. Six cities in 8 days, it was a rush. It wasn't just that, she told me recently, there was so much motion to set things up. It was that so much energy was let loose inside of her. So much consciousness was waking up, for she was saying yes to the muses who were guiding her for this entire tour, and the full recovery of her spine was more than a miracle. It was pure light. Little did anyone know, let alone Ella barely, that what would soon follow this. On the solo stage, she was developing her fierce focus, where nothing else could get in. She was ultimately practicing how to focus with zero distraction from the light, so that later, when she was asked to, she could say yes again, yes to the light. In the theaters, as she was on stage, the lighting dim, yet she was lit. You could hear a pin drop. This was how wholly absorbed and rapturous the audience did sit. for in the solo caged about liberation from torture and human rights violations, no one's eyes did from her move. For she was dancing for their liberty, and this they all knew. At the end of this poignant solo, bars of light atop her pierced, as if she was trapped inside them, as if she was boxed in. And yet, in the following solo, radiant light, it did stream in. Ella literally took each person in the audience by their hand, and she danced them out with her from this cage. She was their companion, entrusted by the end. Standing ovations frequently greeted her, except from those who sat so still, for so often people were quite stunned that art could move them so. Art which is humanity, art which is the soul. Often people would linger, not wanting to leave this place, wanting to remain in this safe shelter, wanting to remain in this love space. She built a reputation for herself in that one tour, and yet the story takes a swerve. Yes, it has a curve. For everyone assumed she would continue this, the National Endowment for the Arts, and that accounted council too, if only she would come home, they said. Then they would fund her too. And yet the voice that spoke to her again, it said, this time, let go. And she knew precisely what this meant. It meant, let go the dance. Everyone around her thought she was crazy, crazy to let this go. Why would you when you're at the top? Why would you ever let this go? They could not hear the voice within. The voice that spoke her so, the voice that was her savior, for it was what had healed her so. And it was why she danced like this. It was why she could do this. It was why she could be this way. It was why she could so deeply trust. And so she trusted it again. She trusted it again. And she let go dance. Yet she did not let it go. Instead, she took its hand. She allowed it to lead her in to sacred lands, to where few have ever forayed. She let it lead her in. It was at the end of this first solo tour that the voice said, you are needed for something else now, that only you can do. She knew, she recognized this, that what the voice spake, it was true. She realized she had no conscious clue what it was she was to do. And so she continued to strengthen her trusting as if a muscle once atrophied, that it would become so strong, just like a great oak tree. Her trust would be her ally when all else could not be seen. And so trust became her companion. Trust became her best friend. Trust became her lover. Trust, it was, is, trust.